It is Thursday, the 9th of May, and this is episode 163 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode. I'm Chris. I'm hosting today, and as ever, Ian's here with me. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Christopher.
Back to standard intros. It went much better.
It was slick. It was concise. There was no mistakes.
No mistakes that time. I'm sure we'll make up for it now. Now that it's last short news week, probably this week, because we've got Google I.O. next week, and that's always good for news stories.
I.O. next week. There's the new Xbox the week after. Then there's a bit of a breather, and then you're into E3 and WWDC.
It must be an Apple announcement, so I was going to say. Yeah, WWDC. Apple's got to start ramping up soon.
So. Well, there's been no Apple announcement since, I think it was October or November.
Except for figures, saying they're still earning lots of money.
Yeah, but then that's boring.
Yep. But Microsoft, they've been talking to us this week, telling us that they're going to release an update to Windows 8. It's called... Excuse me, it's codenamed Blue. And it seems like, although we haven't got details, it seems like it's going to be an update to allow Windows 8 to work on lots of different form factors. So instead of just being kind of their tablet, it's going to go across phones and, well, I guess smaller, different tablet sizes.
Yeah, I just took it as it's going to allow Windows 8 to work. I would have just put a full stop at that and moved on.
Yeah, you're probably not far wrong. So they've kind of come out and said, look, we know it, you know, it's not very well, you know, it's not perfect is what they said, but they said that we still like it, which is good that they're still stood behind their product. And I guess they're also hoping to iron out some of the issues of this release.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's talk of 7-inch tablets. Lots of people are focused on like the start button. And it's in, I asked my colleague who works right next to me and says, how are you getting on with Windows 8? And he's like, I hate it. Mm. He says, I really want to go back. And I says, what's your big issue? He says, I've not got a touchscreen. So I find it really hard to use. And I says, you're not putting on one of those, you know, four start buttons that allows you to, you know, gives it a bit of a Windows 7 type start button. He's like, oh, I've not heard of that. So I sent him a link, installed it that night, and he's like, oh, it's actually so much nicer.
Yeah, so just, once you get rid of all the new stuff.
He says he's not turned anything off. It's just that bit of familiarity that he can launch stuff quickly. Whereas before he was really struggling, just usability had gone for him.
Yeah, and I think lots of people are, it's the same. And the big problem they've got is that when they cocked up Vista because of the big sea change, you know, they did make that right eventually, and a lot of people saw they'd made that right because they had to stick with Vista because there wasn't alternatives. And now we've got alternatives, you know, with all the major players all, you know, catering for Macs now, and people in general, consumers and businesses liking the Mac hardware. So, yep, I think... They need this to be good.
The difference is lots of people have replaced laptops with tablets. Lots of people have said, actually, the iPad's good enough. You know, for all the people that are saying, oh, it doesn't print and I can't do this, it's like it does 99% for a lot of people, and that's enough.
Well, yeah, a lot riding on this update. And yeah, and Bill Gates is one of those people who's saying, you know, the iPad's rubbish because you haven't got a keyboard and you can't do PC things on it, like create documents and stuff. It has to be said, this he had an interview on American TV. I think it was American TV, wasn't it?
I was going to say it was Bloomberg, but who knows?
Hang on. No, it was a CNBC interview. And he kind of said that all the consumers out there really want, they're frustrated by their iPads because they haven't got keyboards and they haven't, you know, they can't type and stuff like that. And really, that's what they really want, a Surface. But as you've sort of written here, no one's told the consumers that.
No. And it's and bizarre about it is, it's like you buy a Surface, you don't get a keyboard. So,
so it's you like, have to buy a Surface.
You have to buy another keyboard. And it's exactly the same with the iPad right now. I mean, and I've been quite tempted with one of these Logitech keyboard covers just for those times when I want to, you know, I wrote a quick blog post last night when I was at the airport.
I'm not sure that those keyboard covers are any better than touching on the screen anyway, are they? No,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But they don't really offer much more tactical feedback, do they? Tactile feedback is what I meant to say. I haven't got any Tic Tacs.
Tell you what, you buy me one and I'll tell you it's a lot better.
Ah, okay, fair enough. No, yeah, I bet they don't come cheap.
I do. Well, I'm going to start now because, as I said, I wasn't going to buy one, and then I was. And it's one of those, I've sat in the fence so long, I'm probably not going to do it. No, because I keep thinking, Retina Mini, at some point, if that came out, I think that's what I would go for.
Okay.
And I've got the kind of full fat iPad just now, so I don't want to spend.
You want to spend some Apple dollars, you just haven't got anything to spend it on. That's the problem you've got at the moment.
It's a Logitech keyboard.
No, I know, but it's Apple dollars, as in just for your Apple products. You see, this is the money that's waiting for Apple as soon as they release a new product. It's people like you gagging for the next bit of Apple porn.
Not at all.
no comment.
You're not going to get me to bite in that one. But the reason I didn't buy it, because even, the site that I was just about to say, and it went from my head. That tech site that recommends stuff and it's really laser focused and I can't remember what its name is, and I'll come back to you in a minute, and I'm not going to cut this out, but the
yeah, the intro was good.
yeah but they recommended it and said it's $70 on Amazon, and I thought, oh, that's come down a bit in price, I'll jump on, use my Prime account and get it ordered for tomorrow. And it was £70, and I was like, no, that's ripping.
That's a lot of money for a cover. But anyway, it seems like Mr. Gates is a bit out of touch, really.
I thought he was out of touch, and I thought Steve Jobs used to do this. Nobody wants a photo iPod. What are you on about? True. Nobody wants a color one. That's rubbish. And he's
problem is it worked for him, and it doesn't work for Bill, does it? Bill's not even involved. Bill has to keep coming back to try and help Microsoft out. I mean, their Surface.
Steve Jobs isn't. Sorry, that's.
Not too soon. You're fine with that one now. Their Surface advertising is apparently costing like $1.5 billion.
It's scary figures.
That's a lot of money sinking into this.
It is.
What have they got? They've got about a 1.8% share of the market at the moment.
Yeah.
On the tablet market.
But then again, Android's probably paying for that advertising campaign from all those crazy licensing deals that they've done over the last 2 years.
That's true. Yeah, with a little pence every now and again, yeah. So there's a lot standing on it, and I can see why they're bigging it up. But this update has to be good for this to even stand any. I'm not sure of the phrase I want there, really. But
well,
the
other thing they're talking about is a Surface announcement in June this year. I mean, that's only six months. Yeah, and it's like that just sounds like that didn't really work. Let's go again.
Yeah, well, if they've got the resources to do it. I mean, I guess they always release these things with a view to sort of, progressing them, but maybe they've had to accelerate that.
And Microsoft do tend to announce, months before an actual release. Mm. So you might see there's a release out there just to say that we're still here and there's something coming. Don't spend your Android money and don't spend your Apple money.
The only thing I really care about from Microsoft at the moment is the new Xbox anyway, so we'll wait for that.
Yeah.
Not long to wait. No. Google have recognized Palestine in a kind of weird way. They've changed the wording on their Palestine search page. But Israel have come out and said, "Oi, that upsets our peace process somehow." I'm not sure how, why, or whatever. Israel being dicks. We try not to be overly political on our podcast because that's not really why you're here, but Israel are just dicks, aren't they, really?
It's at times like this I'm glad Shaq's not here, because I think we would have an international incident over this. The things I could tell you.
Yeah.
And originally I didn't have this in the kind of show notes, the actual initial change, because it was like all Google have done is looked at what United Nations have done and what other organisations around the world have done and said, fine, we'll follow that lead.
Yeah, the only people they're not following is Israel.
And it's the fact that they've come out and actually said, so previously Google had listed it as Palestinian territories, but it's now just changed to Palestine, following, as I've said, UN, etc. But according to, I'm trying to find the guy's name, but it's from the Foreign Ministry anyway, so Elkin. I'm trying to remember, Zev Elkin. Such a decision is, in my opinion, not only mistaken, but could also negatively impinge on the efforts of my government to bring about direct negotiation between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Which is just amazing, especially it was a week where, And I know we don't do politics, but they decided to start bombing Syria. So yeah, Google updating the search engine pages has
the
done more.
This might embolden the Palestinians to further their political aims.
Yep, and it's just back to their negotiating stances. They don't want them recognised as a proper country, you know, and all that nonsense.
I know very little about the potted the history. No, of all that
exactly.
Areas.
And
the history I know, though, it doesn't point to Israel being in the right.
No.
Anyway, there we go.
Sharks unfortunately brainwashed me.
Yeah, I assume that Google just ignored them anyway, so it's fine.
They did.
Yeah, so there we go.
And as far as I know, I don't think they've went to war.
And the peace process is exactly the same as it was before.
Yeah.
Flipboard. So we reported a few weeks ago, probably up to a month ago now, actually, they've released their Flipboard magazine so everyone could produce their own little sort of online magazine that they could publish out to people based on cut and paste stories from places around the web. Well, Flipboard have now brought that system out. Well, first of all, they've released it on Android. And they've also now got a web-based interface which allows sort of content publishers to actually have more control over how their magazines that they produce look, how it cuts and pastes into their magazine. So yeah, some more developments there. Have you made your magazine yet? Did you make one?
No, I was going to make a digital Outbox one actually, because I thought, you know, we could just put one up there and it's all the kind of interesting stories that we get, you know, day to day, throw it up there, people can subscribe. I actually subscribed to quite a few others.
Okay.
And I found it really on certain topics, you know, like Google Glass. I'm following a couple of Google Glass ones and it's actually on a particular topic because somebody's doing the creation. You can kind of ignore it when you're going through all the feeds and you're just actually seeing everything around about that topic. And I guess, you know, if somebody was doing one for, you know, catering and start, you know, pulling all that web content together and all the different stories and saying, here's a magazine all about, you know, catering. It would get, you know, traction within that audience.
So it's working for niche markets and niche topics.
Don't get me wrong, it's not just niche markets. There are people doing, you know, like tech magazines, but a lot of it is just, you know, everything from the Verge.
Of course, there's
and
tech
Gadget.
Magazines. I bet they're coming out of your eyeballs.
You know, Robert Scoble's doing, you know, tech startups, but a lot of it's just volume wise. You know, you just can't keep up. But if you're in that industry, it can be really interesting.
Like, as we've had with the feeds, you know, it's the same stuff being compiled in slightly different ways. But when you get down to the niche, yeah, there's only one or two of them. That's the whole point, and therefore it's more traction. Yeah.
And at first, I actually thought that the downside was that you could only share content from, you know, within Flipboard. And I thought, oh, that's good for Flipboard because it's obviously, if you want your meeting magazine, add more feeds, use this tool, etc. But you can, you know, you can add a bookmarklet. So as you find content on your travels, you can add it. And with this new web add-on as well, this Flipboard editor, you can actually go in and start to reorder it better and change the cover magazine. And it does feel like it's something you're making.
It's funny, isn't it? How out of a kind of very slight change to the way, you know, it kind of works anyway, they've turned it into a new concept, and it's grabbed the attention, hasn't it? It's got that little spark of something which could go somewhere.
And it's actually for some people that are really good creators, it's actually, you know, they're getting lots of, you know, followers out of it. You know, some of the magazines are getting thousands of people following it because it's like one person's doing the hard work for everybody.
They reckon it's 6 million more users since this platform, and half their so that takes them up to 56 million, and half their users from Android. That's pretty big stat.
Yeah.
So with
this coming to Android today, you know, I'm not saying we're going to see a doubling of the magazine content, but you're now getting a, you know, obviously there'll be some more good content out there.
Yeah, you kind of don't want a doubling of the magazine content. You want
no.
You want a doubling down of what's good and what's not. You want those people to drop off who aren't really in it. For the right reasons or whatever. Good stuff. Adobe gone down a weird route here. So they've, for months, well, probably years now, they've been trying to push their subscription-based model called the Adobe Cloud or Creative Cloud or something along those lines. It is Creative Cloud, isn't it?
Yeah.
But for what would have been Creative Suite 6, they have completely gone to the subscription model. You're not going to be able to buy Creative Suite as a standalone package. And their subscription model obviously is a yearly cost rather than the packages, which most people probably upgraded once every 2 to 3 years. And I guess that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to force people into having to keep paying them every year. As part of your subscription, obviously, they keep you up to date with all the software packages. I know that this has been a big part of their strategy, and they've been trying to move people this way, but they have clearly not managed to move people that way. Therefore, now they're forcing it. And it doesn't sit comfy with me.
It's interesting, and it's not, I mean, and I don't really, I'm not in an industry that, you know, people use this day to day. You know, you're probably maybe a bit closer to it than me. And I think from memory, I always had it in my head, it was every couple of years they upgraded Creative Suite. And I think in between years, it was almost like, if 4 had come out, you get a 4.1. And there was
a 4.1 and a 4.5 sometimes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then I think at the last release to the one before, they said, actually, what we're going to do is, we are going to add new features into the in-between ones as well. It's almost like a year to every 18 months, we'll do this drumbeat. And they started, the conference name was Adobe Max. So they started doing these, I think the big one I got first recollection of is when they started doing remember you could cut people out. There was all that kind of create, and they were doing the YouTube videos beforehand, and then they were doing the big show.
Yes.
And this is coming up in Photoshop, the next version of Photoshop. And everybody was like, ooh, is this enough to make me upgrade from CS3 to CS5? And there was all that talk. Mm. But this is a big change. You know, for a lot of people, I don't know if this is going to be, it works out quite expensive.
If you are in the creative industry flat out, that's what your job is every day, if you're a design professional, a production engineer, whatever. It's basically $50, but it's going to end up pretty much £50 a month, which actually is what's that for a design bureau? That's under an hour's work kind of thing.
I guess we should point out that's everything. That's a full Creative Suite, one of the things I thought at first was, are they doing some sort of, is it running on the cloud? And it's not. It's actually, you downloaded the software, it's all installed in your machine, you're getting, cloud storage, you can easily share it, but it's doing this kind of license check every month to say, are you licensed?
Yeah, that's all it is. It's got a DRM over the top of it, really, and you have to download the software rather than get it on a CD.
There is an alternative. If you only use Photoshop, or if you only use, Premiere, then you can just pay for one app, which is around £16 a month.
£17.58.
Yep.
That's, again, if you're using Photoshop a lot, then that doesn't seem so bad. It's the people in between, so that they've got the two extremes here. They've got the extreme covered, which is the people that use it all the time. It's worthwhile. They covered. But for someone like me who is happy to have the same version of Creative Suite for, a couple to 3 years, they have not got me covered, because that's an awful lot more money I'm going to be actually spending over 3 years to keep up to date with the software. Therefore, I will be keeping with my current package and leaving it at that.
And from what I could see there was a kind of split on the people I follow on Twitter between, this seems like a good deal, I'm quite happy to pay it. Because as you say, if you've got a paying gig, this is your tools.
It's under an hour's work a month that you're basically paying for your subscription.
But there was other people saying, there's not enough in this to force me to upgrade.
No.
Apart from, am I going to be obsoleted? Because I think a lot of people got obsoleted when, I think it was when Apple went to Intel. That change of architecture was starting to...
Yeah, but then Adobe did that really annoying upgrade strategy of allowing people to upgrade from about 6 versions back and not charging any more than if you were just on the last point release, which gave you like a couple of minor updates. So they've never got this right. They've never cracked it. I think they wanted to get everyone fully up to date, and it never worked like that. So they just didn't... It didn't work for me. They've always caught this up from my point of view.
But it's a bold move. The bit that always sticks in my throat, and you can, I know you can play around with taxes and it's different tax here, there and everywhere, but $17.58 per month in the UK against $19.99, it just doesn't stack up.
£50 rather than $50 and all those.
It's $46.88 against $49.99. It's just whatever way you cut it, we're getting ripped off.
Yeah, and they always say, they've always touted it being because of Europe and all the different languages and stuff.
Bollocks.
Yeah, it is.
and it's not just Adobe. I mean, Apple, Adobe, and I can't remember the other, there's like 3 or 4 big companies in Australia were actually taken to court by the government. And just before the court case, Adobe dropped a lot of their prices in Australia because they were just outrageous. You know, it was almost, you know, it was like 1.5 times the American cost. And it's like, but what are you changing? What are you changing for that market that, that
hello
allows
to
you
G'day.
To? Yeah.
anyway, yeah. So it, I would be in. Yeah, I don't. If I was going to make a guess, I'd say they're not going to see as much take up as they want on this. We'll see.
And for people like me who I don't need to power in these tools at all, but what's really nice is there's tools like Pixelmator, which got a really big update today. There's another one called Sketch, which was on the people behind Sketch actually said this is a Fireworks replacement. And Fireworks was one of these things that I knew how to use it and I could actually use it from years ago. And I looked at Sketch and I was like, you know, it's £15. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll use that and I'll use Pixelmator rather than these big tools.
And that's what you see. But also, it won't take long for people to crack the latest version anyway. and that I think you'll see people, you know, that are in that middle ground just going straight for that route. That's what they. If you force people to buy the whole lot on a subscription, then they're just going to go and find another way of getting it.
The sad bit is that this has taken all the kind of oxygen this week, and there's not really been much focus on what's new, because it wasn't just a change to, like, you know, how we're going to do our model or a change in name.
They've actually updated stuff on the actual.
There's lots of updates, and there's just very little talk about it. I mean, Photoshop, and I just noted it down. It seemed to be this unblur tool. So they've got a really good tool now. If you've taken a bloody, you know, photograph that you can. Mm-hmm. And it's video wise, it demoed really well. But the focus all this week has been on pricing. And you're forcing me into this crazy model, which a lot of people don't want to do.
Yes, they'd have done better to split the announcement, really.
Yeah.
They have also said that they've made some hardware for your tablet. And basically, they've made a stylus and they've made a Napoleon ruler because it's a short ruler. There we go. That was their joke. It was quite funny, actually.
I loved that. I thought that was good. Because at first I saw it and I was like, why would you call your product Napoleon? And then they actually said, well, it was a short ruler. And I was like, that is the best thing ever.
So the stylus kind of works as it does, you know, as you'd expect a stylus to. So you can draw on your screen and it kind of knows that it's the pen drawing. So you can it knows when your finger's drawing and when your pen's drawing. So your finger can perform a different function, for example, rubbing out. But also they've hooked into their Creative Cloud and you can have something called a cloud clipboard. So you can store your little images in the cloud and then make them available on other products. And you can even do it physically via the pen, so you can store, you know, an image on the pen and then touch that pen onto your phone, for example, and that image will then appear on your phone instead. That's some quite clever little innovative features there.
I thought that was great.
Mm. Where the use is, I don't know, but nevertheless, it's quite clever.
Well, but even, I mean, because they were showing, like, almost like taking it, you could have a almost like an image library of stock images that then you could just, you know, take from the cloud. And I was like, why have none of the... No, why is Android, iOS, Microsoft, why have they not thought about that as a cloud clipboard, you know, as part of the services, you know, that you could be cutting and pasting text? Yep. And it's almost, and the demo did really well. The stylus itself looked, it was a bit of lag, but design-wise, it looked really nice, but there was a bit of lag when it was drawn on screen.
I tell you what, that was quite shocking lag as far as I can tell. Again, maybe they're sort of still developing it, or maybe that's just part of the limitations of the pad, but it was all pressure sensitive, so I'm guessing it's got quite a lot of data to pass backwards and forwards. But then you thought it's on Bluetooth, so you'd have thought there's plenty of scope
I mean Wacom have been doing pressure sensitive for years and there's no lag. It's almost, you know, it's instantaneous. It feels like you've got a liquid pen.
So whether that's their software, whether that's the pen, I don't know, but either way.
And they demoed it in iOS, and there's lots to talk about upcoming iOS apps that they didn't know what to talk about, and other tablets as well. So no doubt there'll be something later in the year. I thought it was good that they're doing something different. You know, they're into hardware. It looks like they've got beyond all this flash, anger, hate nonsense, and they're actually saying, we need to do something, or this market will bypass us.
Like I say, the two bits of hardware looked amazing. The ruler was effectively allow, you know... It projects, if you like it, you can put the ruler onto the iPad and it'll project a straight line if you're on a straight line tool. And it doesn't really matter where you move your stylus, it will just draw on a straight line for you, but with the pressure you're using. So it's a nice clinical way of getting straight lines, but it also can work on curves and other geometric shapes. So again, they've thought about it, and obviously the positioning of the tool on the pad affects, you know, how that line is projected onto the page. So again, very clever, and it, you know, very Minority Report really.
There was no release dates, prices, anything like that. It was almost just a look, we're doing stuff.
Aren't we good? And it was good.
But it also made me think, you know, remember, I'm trying to remember the guy's name that went from Adobe to Apple, and people were saying, why is he getting put in charge of a hardware team? And then you see them bringing out hardware and you think
oh, maybe you probably, okay. Apple, look at this, now employ me. BT, they are offering their Premiership Football free to their broadband subscribers. Basically, in a move to try and get people onto BT broadband, I guess, and be a multi-platform media company.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Sky, whether they'll react to this, I don't know. I mean, obviously, BT have only got 38 games that they're showing. But by offering it free to those people, it will entice people in, I'm sure. Although you have to have some sort of platform to be able to watch it on. So whether that be a set-top box, which costs you a bit more money per month, or you can watch it on your existing Sky subscription. So you give Sky a bit of money, then you can watch your free BT games.
Yeah, and I think there's something you can... I put it down further underneath. There's something about the other options you can pay, that you can throw them £5 a month to get their TV platform or whatever. So I guess that gives you a box, etc.
Yeah, and maybe if you're going down that route for having the TV anyway, you might have that. You might want to get it anyway. So, we'll see how it goes. It's a good idea, but we've talked before how football's not going to work until you sell the same games to different people.
No. But I mean, volume-wise, I mean, they've got 38 Premier League games a season against Sky's 116. No, so it's
not bad actually.
It's a third, and for a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of people. For me, I've been tempted to shift over to BT for a while because I'm in the worst position right now. I'm probably paying the most money I can for broadband, phone, and TV, and it would make sense to. I still have a fear that they'll be unreliable. But what I'll probably will do is I'm with Virgin, I'll jump over to BT, I'll dual run for about a month or two to make sure they're stable. And then I'll bail out because it's an 18-month contract you sign up for.
Yeah, that's quite a long time. I have to say, you say most people, but actually, like I say, football people won't necessarily be drawn by only 38 games. I don't know how it works for football, really.
Interestingly, I've just got an email from Sky saying your HD package is changing.
Right, we'll just wait and see what they're saying. Yeah.
But it's basically saying it's got better because I can enjoy box sets.
Oh, good.
And it's like, yeah, that's doesn't really stack up against some free football.
EA, they have confirmed they're laying off some of their staff. So 10% of their staff, in fact. So around 900 workers have been chopped while they try and restructure and try and put a bit more financial security in place, I guess. Like I say, I think we said before, EA are probably the biggest publisher in games, and it's kind of worrying that they're having to chop 10% of their staff.
If it was 10% of the staff looking after DRM or looking after how to make games exclusively online, then I wouldn't be so worried, but there'll be a lot of creatives in there, and we probably will see, you know, lesser products going forward.
They have got the license for FIFA for the next 10 years. There you go. And also, they've been granted the Disney rights for Star Wars. I guess not, you know, it's probably only the kind of EA that have got the kind of money that Disney will want for those kind of rights. But they've decided they're going to, so EA are going to make the games, and they're basically DICE and Visceral. So they're in-house teams as well as BioWare, who made their Old Republic, the Massive Leon. No multiplayer online, spit that out.
So it's teams that have got heritage with within these sectors. So
I mean, they are good teams, those ones.
So hopefully that means, you know, but I won't go into that debate again about X-Wing and TIE Fighter.
We'll see.
It's 7:15. It must be time for a nice lolly. Do you not have like an ice cream war down there like we had in Glasgow in the 70s and actually just kill the bugger?
No, we always, two vans that go by that don't like each other. Yeah. I think we talked about this. The We did. I'm sure it's the British Library and National Library of Scotland and the National Library of Wales and blah blah blah, blah and several other libraries. They've got the rights to archive UK websites, but they've come up with a competition or just a survey or what's it they come up with?
They basically put their heads together and we covered it at the time and we said, I wonder what makes the criteria. You know, is Academy Racer, you know, going to be archived forever?
Of course.
And we had a bit of a joke about, you know, is it on a UK based? Is it .net? What about Facebook and what about Twitter and all that? So these different library heads and organisations have put their heads together and they've come up with the 100 websites that they're going to be capturing.
But they did it very quietly.
But they're also asking for feedback as well. But they also did confirm that they're going to capture, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all these kind of big sites as well.
But they want sites that are going to sum up living in Britain in 2013.
Yep. So hashtag digital universe.
For your ideas. I bet that's not going to be abused, is it?
Well, the strange thing was it's like hashtag digital universe for which sites in the UK that were captured.
Yeah, so not the universe then.
No. some of their 100 jumped out as being rather strange.
Mm.
So there's a bus shelter in Scotland.
Yeah, I've heard of that bus shelter before. I didn't realise he had a website.
Yep, there's Shit London, which is a website right. All about the best bits of London. Anarchist Federation, which pulls together all the...
Just like living in 2013, yeah?
Yep. Chav Towns.
Ooh, what's that? Sounds good.
So chavtowns.co.uk, basically...
I want it to be a chavometer to let me know how chavvy places are.
No, I think it has little stories about where the chavviest places are.
Right, lovely.
Rather strangely, Nintendo Life and the Dreamcast Junkyard sum up Britain right now. And
I'm not sure they do. I'm not sure they sum up anywhere.
No, Nintendo Life is basically, help!
I'm drowning.
I see this week they've actually said we're encouraging mobile developers to come to our platform. And most people were like, no, Nintendo, just get your games on mobile platforms and you'll make tons of money.
Yeah, wrong way round.
Yep. That'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
And the Dreamcast Junkyard, does that sum up Britain right now in 2013?
It sums up our libraries and how outdated they are.
I get the feeling that it's a geek on this team who's right into his emulators.
The rest of them probably just sat around nodding.
And three crucial sites, because obviously shopping is a big part of Britain right now. So they're going to capture Argos next and Moonpig.
Okay. There you go. If you want to make better suggestions, you can by tweeting Digital Universe. There you go. Join in. It's fun.
Join in.
That's the end of the news. And we got some picks for you this week. Ian, what's your pick?
Mine's a Chrome extension called OneTab. So if you go to one-tab.com, you can install it from there. I'm sure if you do a search in whatever the Google extension play store name thing, whatever. I have a tab problem. I don't know if you have a tab problem.
Doesn't matter. I often have tab problems.
It doesn't matter if I've got bookmarks, pinboard, pocket, whatever, all these things. I still have 20 tabs open.
Open a new tab.
Yeah. and before you know it, it's chewing up quite a lot of resource.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you ever look at your system tray and stuff like that, actually work out how much memory is a website uses, it's quite a lot. Much more than you'd think.
And if you're on, and fair enough, we're on nice powerful desktops now, and you just tend not to notice these things. But if you're on battery power and on laptop, it can actually be tuned quite a bit. So you hit one tab and it converts all your tabs into a list of links on one page and frees up, I think it was some claim, about 95% of memory, because you just do not realise how much this is chewing up.
And then the links, you just click on them. What does that do? Does it swap? Does it switch you into that page?
I think it just opens the tab
again. Okay.
Yeah. So all it is a quick way of kind of doing temporary local bookmark.
Sounds like a good idea. I'm sure Chrome will steal it.
it works really well because there's a lot of sites I don't want to bookmark. I don't want to put in, you know, pocket or pinboard. But I need to get to it later on.
Yeah, and like I say, you want to clean it down but have it available for you. So it's a bit like the recently closed tabs. I guess that's kind of what it is really, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's another silo for you to abuse. Because I've clicked one tab and I've got a list of links and then another 20 tabs.
Well, eventually you're going to have a list of about 150 links. What was I opening them for?
Yeah. But no, I like it. One tab.
My pick this week, I've had great fun with this all week, it's called GeoGuessr. So you go to let's do the whole word rather than just halfway through. GeoGuessr, because obviously the real spelling of GeoGuessr wasn't available, .com. And basically it dumps you in the middle of nowhere in a Google Maps, what do you call it? The
Street View.
Street View, that's it. So on a Street View, they...
Trolls.
Yeah. I should read my own show notes, shouldn't I? So yeah, you get dumped in the Street View, and you have to guess where you are stood. And so that gives you a map of the world, and you click on the world map, and it'll tell you how close you got. And it's actually quite compelling. It's amazing how...
It's far more compelling than your description of it anyway.
It gives you... It basically splits it into five rounds. So it dumps you in five locations, and it scores you based on how close you pin... It's like pin the tail on the donkey, really, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, since you introduced it to me, we had a little game tonight, and it's been excellent.
It has. And who won?
I don't know why you're even asking.
It was you. I've been playing all week, and you trounced me. Never mind.
Yeah. It's just like Halo. But not like Forza.
Honestly, it's worth having. I know I haven't done a very good job of explaining it, but it's good fun anyway, just to try and see how good you are at geography. You even managed to get in Scotland, which is amazing.
No, it was Norway.
Oh, it was me that was in Scotland, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I had a lake, and because it was a bit of heather, I thought Scotland, it was Norway.
Scotty.
But bizarrely, still quite close.
Yeah, so you still beat me because you were so
winner.
Close. Yeah, never mind. There you go. So geoguessr.com. That is the end of the podcast. And if you want to find out more about us, you can. digitaloutbox.com. Email info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. My blog is academyracer.co.uk. And Ian, where can we find you?
IanD.net is a blog, and Shreeper on Twitter. When's your next race?
Not this weekend, so not tomorrow, but the week tomorrow. There you go. That was an easy way of saying it, wasn't it?
Can't wait.
Yep, it's all good. I got a tent today, so I'm going to camp out in a in a car park in the middle of a circuit. New sleeping bag. Oh, and a new camera as well to put in the car, so I can actually get some good shots.
Oh, what kind of camera?
An Action Cam Pro 3, which is effectively the same chipset as the new HD, the new GoPro, but only the silver model. GoPro have two levels. They have gold. In fact, they have three levels. They have bronze, silver, and gold. Or no, the black. No, silver, black, and there's something else though. Is it white, silver, and black? Anyway. The two lower ones is the same chipset as I've got. I haven't got the latest black one, which is costs an awful lot of money, so I didn't go.
But it's £300 or £400, so it's a lot.
360, but then this little one that I've got comes with a screen already embedded in it, so you don't have
a
separate screen. And like, hopefully it'll grab some good pictures, and I will put the videos up. I will also report back how good the camera is.
Okay, look forward to your view from the podium next week. Oh no, the week after.
Yeah, the week Friday, and that's... Fingers crossed, eh? Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, come on.
Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. I'm going to have to pause because my video's gone because Google just signed me out. What a time to sign me out, Google.
This is weird.
Do you know Google signed me out? Just like just signed me out. Yeah, and it was like, Jesus Christ.
That's the two. Jesus, Fenton. I've now got two of you in my Hangout, in this Hangout.